You're listening to SBS News.
Climate change was a key focus on the final day of the Group of Seven summit on Sunday. The tone was set by broadcaster and naturalist Sir David Attenborough, who addressed the world leaders by video.
If the seven nations you represent make halving global emissions this decade, wherever they are emitted, your top priority, we can shift in time. If we support the less wealthy and those that supply us with goods we ourselves no longer manufacture to grow sustainably, then our world will become more equal. If the wealthiest fund and support developing nations on their path to net zero, then our global transition will be a just one. If we achieve this, we won't just have stopped climate change. We will have built a cleaner, fairer world with sustainable economies and a biosphere that can support civilizations for generations to come. The global leadership of this decade could create a legacy that will last millennia.
G7 leaders agreed to raise their contributions to meet an overdue spending pledge of $130 billion a year by rich countries to help poorer countries cut carbon emissions and cope with global warming, but only two nations offered firm promises of more cash. The leaders also pledged more than 1 billion coronavirus vaccine doses to poorer countries and agreed to challenge China's non-market economic practices and human rights abuses. But French President Emmanuel Macron insisted that the G7 was not hostile to China.
Et donc, je vais être très clair, le G7 n'est pas un club hostile à la Chine. C'est un ensemble de démocraties qui entend...
Let me be clear, the G7 is not a club which is hostile to China. It's a group of democracies that wants to work on a number of global issues on which China is willing to work with us, whether it be climate, whether it be a real recommitment to the rules of global trade, whether it be international development and the question of African debt, and so on. It is an international competitor, from whom we expect the full respect of all the rules we collectively and voluntarily submitted ourselves to, those of the World Trade Organization. And it's also a power with which we have disagreements when it comes to forced labor and human rights.
Une puissance avec laquelle nous avons des désaccords que nous assumons quand il s'agit du travail forcé ou des droits de l'homme.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced his country would be contributing 100 million vaccine doses to poorer countries to help end the coronavirus pandemic.
To truly beat COVID-19 anywhere, we have to beat it everywhere. That's something we've understood right from the start of this pandemic. That's why Canada has, to date, contributed $2.5 billion to help address this crisis globally. We are one of only four countries that has already paid our fair share to the ACT Accelerator, which supports global access to vaccines, tests, and treatments. But this pandemic isn't over yet. So through the G7, we're stepping up once again. Today, the G7 announced that our collective commitments will result in over 2 billion doses being shared with the rest of the world. Canada's portion is 100 million doses.
And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the summit's discussions went far beyond defeating the pandemic.
We look towards the global recovery, a great global recovery our countries have committed to lead, and we were clear that we all need to build back better in a way that delivers for all our people and for the people of the world. And that means preventing a pandemic like this from ever happening again, apart from anything else, by establishing a global pandemic radar, which will spot new diseases before they get the chance to spread. It means ensuring that our future prosperity benefits all the citizens of our countries and indeed all the citizens of the world.
US President Joe Biden described rallying the world's democracies to meet the challenges that the world faces and deliver for people everywhere. He said the decision to impose a global minimum tax rate of 15% on multinational corporations was crucial.
So many corporations have been engaged in what are essentially tax havens, deciding that they would pay considerably less in other environs around the world. But this is going to make sure there's a minimum tax, and I'm going to move on this at home as well. Minimum tax for corporations to pay for the profits they make anywhere in the world.
Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who attended the summit in the UK as an observer, says his visit was an important opportunity.
It is a gathering of like-minded countries, countries that understand that the world order that has favoured freedom for so long has been so beneficial to so much of the world, to usher in a period of peace and prosperity like the world has never seen before.
Meanwhile, members of the Extinction Rebellion Climate Activism Group had their doubts about the outcome of the G7 summit. Scientist and activist Paul Whiteley says the world's leaders have dithered over climate change for so long, the only way forward now is for them all to work together.
Basically, they need to stop thinking about how they're going to turn this emergency into a money-making opportunity for their chums, into how they're going to protect the people that actually voted for them. And really, they've had 25 years of floundering around, waiting like penguins on the edge of the water, waiting to see who was going to be the first one to dive in. Well, it's too late. They've all got to dive in together.
Before returning to Australia, Scott Morrison will hold trade talks with Boris Johnson in London before heading to France for talks with Emmanuel Macron. Alan Lee, SBS News.